the digital delusion.
Yep.
What is that?
The digital delusion has many aspects to it, but the primary aspect, it started with the delusion that digital advertising was going to be more effective than traditional advertising because it was going to be interactive. And I think what we have learned is that digital advertising is not very interactive at all. Most reports about interactivity with digital ads shows that they get about 5 clicks per 10,000 ads served, which is not really interactivity, it's absence of interactivity. But that was the big promise of the digital industry when it first started. But there are plenty of digital delusions. There are delusions that people want to join the conversation about brands online. And if you go to any online social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, there are essentially no conversations about brands going on. What has happened is they've become the repository for traditional paid advertising. That's what Facebook is. That's where it makes all its money. The idea of conversations about brands has turned out to be baloney, and Facebook has evolved into a traditional advertising medium.
It's not really a delusion, though, that Google is taking a lot of advertising dollars away from traditional media.
That's for sure.
Why?
Google is a very, very good Yellow Pages. It's very good for fulfilling demand. When you decide, when radio or television convinces you that you want to go to Hawaii or London or something, what do? The traditional media create the demand, and then you go to Google to fulfill demand. You find the best flights. You find the cheapest hotels. That's essentially how people use Google. Google hasn't created, as far as I know, any big consumer-facing brands.
Right.
It is, it's where you go to find out more information, but it's not a brand building platform.
So why are traditional media, specifically radio, losing dollars to the Googles and the Facebooks in the world?
There's a few reasons. One is some people are successful using Google and Facebook. Can't deny that. There's some degree of success. But Google and Facebook have done a terrific job of selling into the marketing community. And the traditional media have not done a great job of that. Google and Facebook, I don't know if they still do, but they had people embedded in like 50 of the top 100 advertisers in the world. When these people have their sales reps, they don't call them sales reps, of course, inside the companies, it's very hard to compete with. And so there's that aspect of it. The other aspect is that there's been an avalanche of uninformed stuff in the press and stuff among marketers about the reality of media. And when the facts are presented, people are very surprised. And the traditional media, I don't think, have done a good job of presenting the facts in a compelling way. And one of the reasons is that most of the traditional media are also selling some digital media.
Right.
And they don't want to criticize digital media too much because they have people on the street selling it. So, in my opinion, it's bad strategy. They should take the gloves off. The digital media are really on the ropes now with governments, with people about what's been going on with data collection and surveillance and ad tech. And the traditional media should be taking advantage of that. They should be hammering online advertisers based on this, but they're not. The traditional media have been timid in criticizing the online advertising industry.
Do advertisers really know how much fraud there is in digital, or is that overstated?
It's understated, if any. Fraud in online advertising is enormous, and nobody really knows how big it is. Because every time we think we know, it turns out the fraudsters are three steps ahead of us. But it has been reported that there was an article in Fast Company a few weeks ago saying that $50 billion of ad fraud is in the world, of online ad fraud. And a guy who I trust very much, an ad fraud researcher named Dr. Augustin Fu, says there's $50 billion in online ad fraud just in the U.S. alone. And this is way above what the ANA believes. This is way above the numbers that they've been circulating.
So why is it that every time a new study comes out, whether it's Burrell or any of the other companies that measure advertising, it always seems like every year the dollars keep going that way?
It is. It's a combination of things. It's the hip thing to do. I don't think digital advertising builds successful consumer-facing brands other than online brands. So if you look at, you know, maybe digital advertising played a role in building Google, Facebook, and Amazon. I don't think advertising had much of a role in building those brands. But if you, I mean, you go into your neighborhood supermarket, walk up and down the aisles, try to find a brand that was built by online advertising. There aren't any. There are, you know, very few. They've only been able to build other online brands. And most of the brands in the world, I'm guessing 95% of the world brands in the world are not online brands. They're physical brands that you buy in a store. And where are the brands of soap and beer and soda and fast food and cars and tires and you name it that have been built by online advertising? We've had 20 years of online advertising. And after 20 years of TV advertising, after 20 years of radio advertising, they had built hundreds, if not thousands, of consumer-facing brands. And building a brand is the number one job of advertising. That's your first goal. That's what everyone wants to do, is build a successful brand. Why doesn't the marketing industry see this? I don't know. I don't understand it.
Do you think we're going to see more major brands like P&G do what those guys did in terms of really taking a hard look at it and then returning to places like radio?
I hope so, but I doubt it. I don't think... It's very hard for most marketers to go back to their bosses and say, we have to take money off online and put it into radio. It's very hard for them to do that because they don't want to be labeled traditionalists. Mm-hmm. If you're labeled a traditionalist in the marketing industry, you got about 90 days to live. And, you know, strangely and sadly, in the marketing industry today, it's better to be wrong in the normal range than to be right outside the normal range. And the normal range is, you know, online advertising is magic. That's the normal range. And if you say online advertising is not magic and we should be in radio instead, you may be right, but you're outside the normal range and people are going to look at you funny.
What advice do you have for radio?
My advice to radio about digital is, to the extent you can, stick to your knitting and sell radio. I know you have people on the street selling digital, but what percent of your revenue is it? 5%? I don't know, but it's a small percent. The radio industry needs to hit digital hard, as far as I'm concerned. Everyone seems to understand the problems with digital. The government understands it. The public understands it. They read every day about how screwed up the digital industry. The only ones who still believe the bullshit are the marketing people. For some reason, the marketing industry hasn't gotten the message, and radio needs to deliver the message. All traditional media need to deliver the message about how dangerous the practices of the online ad industry are, how they're dangerous to individuals, how they're dangerous to democracy. You know, the only people who can tell their story are them. no one else is going to tell their story for them. And if they're too timid to tell the story because they have a few people selling some digital stuff on the street, you don't win that way. You win by being aggressive. And I just don't think the broadcast industry has been aggressive enough in talking to advertising agencies and talking to marketers about the realities.
What is your philosophy on what happened to newspapers?
Newspapers gave away their content to the online industry for some reason. I don't know why. They allowed the online industry to steal all their material and publish it. They didn't, for some reason, they didn't protect what they were, they didn't protect their product. They didn't protect what they were creating. And because they thought that the pennies they were getting from the digital people were going to make up for the dollars they were losing with the consumer. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that it's just plain simpler to go online, and people are used to going online for news, and they've become used to it. Because of the first reason, because the newspapers allowed the digital industry to steal their product. So it's a very sad. I'm a big advocate. I think newspapers are essential for democracy, mm-hmm. and I think the online news industry is unreliable. It's become, you know, the economics of it, the clickonomics of it have made the most. I mean, let's take a look now at Yahoo. Okay, let's go to my Yahoo and let's see what the news is. This is headline news in Yahoo. I just cried, doctor from United Flight on viral video. Ivanka Trump trolled after sharing photo of her son. See the world's oldest Rocky Mountain juniper tree. After fumble with punctuation issues, Olivia Jade's beauty trademark application is solved. Look, I'm not kidding you. Top stories.
Wow.
On Yahoo News. This is news? This is bullshit. But they know how to get clicks, and clicks are where the money is, and it's very dangerous for democracies, that this is what is passing for news now. Radio delivers reliable news. Newspapers deliver reliable news. TV delivers more. The web delivers bullshit disguised as news. Now, there, of course, there are some good online outlets. There's the New York Times. There's the Wall Street Journal. It's not that it's devoid of news. It's just that most of it is really clickbait appearing on social media.
Right.